I can see it. I can.
Okay. I was just breathing.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about doing that. But I don't know.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
Well, settled.
This may or may not end up being called Gonzo Fatherhood, but welcome. So you got Medea, a.k.a. Little Bear, a.k.a. Lunchbox, a.k.a. Proby. You got Fix, a.k.a. Fixella, a.k.a. Golden Teddy Graham. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
And you guys are sisters?
Twins.
Wow, that's your identity. All right, so...
Okay, so we have a question.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. We have, let's see. What was your favorite high school experience?
My favorite high school experience?
Yes, at school.
Favorite high school experience at school. Let me think here. So there's a lot of weird stuff that happened at school quite a bit. Like looking back on it now, it wasn't weird at the time to me, but looking back, I was like, oh, that was crazy. Why did we do that? We had this awesome night one night. We had night at the Grammys, and it was like, you had, a bunch of different acts and stuff like that. People went and they did like, I don't know if you know who this is, but they did like full like Tina Turner, Proud Mary shows and stuff like that. Yeah. And of course, in like true dirtbag style, me and my friends, we did Vanilla Ice, did a lip sync to Vanilla Ice, like literally the thing that's parodied in Step Brothers. Mm-hmm. We did that. My friend Brian, he was Vanilla Ice because he was the only white guy. And he was, I think we titled it like Vanilla Ice y los Hot Tamales. And it was like, me and Steve and Carlos, like it was a bunch of, we were the hot tamales. We were very, very hot. And he dressed in like a tracksuit, and we had like overalls with no t-shirts on under. It was bad. And like they had worked through this weird like choreography where they were like jumping on each other and doing these weird things. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. So I worked out this gimmick where at the beginning, I pretty much did like the first couple of moves with them, but then that I flipped and I fell off the stage, and I literally like fell off the stage for this. And when I fell off, like every once in a while, like, first of all, the crowd is like, oh my God. And then, they realize once I try to get back up, and then like, somebody comes over and dances and like hits me like awkwardly and I fall back off again, that it's just like a gimmick, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay. He's not hurt. This is part of the show. And, we won. We won that. We won that Grammy. Yeah. That was pretty cool. It was just completely out of the ordinary, and it was at school, and it was unlike any of the like stuff that we were doing in athletics and what have you. What about you guys? How are you guys feeling with y'all's teachers?
Some of them are okay. Like, most of my teachers, not all of them, they do like the bare minimum to get you by. Mm-hmm. Most just want you to complete the work, have it done right, and they're fine with that. Yeah, but then there's some teachers who just, like, want to make it so difficult for you to do anything. Want it certain ways, and they nitpick at a bunch of things. And it's, you can't turn it in till it's exactly what they want it to mm-hmm. look like. Yeah.
What do you think is the issue with the way that they're instructing?
I don't know. They could think, like, the students don't care. Or they could just think so highly of themselves compared to us that they feel like they don't have to really do much more than they think they should.
Oh, then, like, oh, okay. So that's what you mean by bare minimum. You mean like, well, we're required to do this. I'm going to mm-hmm. do this and mm-hmm. call it a day. Yeah. From the stories that you guys have told, the way that you guys have said it, it sounds like these teachers, they are, like, some of them anyway. Some of them are good. But it sounds like it's just not really good at telling you kind of why they're doing something or explaining things fully. So then retroactively, like, you turn something in and then they have to be like, oh, no, I wanted this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn it back in. It's like, did I mention this?
Yeah.
And that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, because then they say that we're not doing it right the first time. So it's like we're being lazy, but we're not because we're trying to get the good grade that they, like, want us to get. But
Have you had any interactions with them? Like, what we call, we've talked about it before, right? Like, self-advocating, like, you guys talking to your teachers, emailing them or something like that?
Yeah, I email them. I try talking to them. Like, the first time I tried to talk to a teacher, he kind of just said that he didn't understand what I was saying. So then I emailed them, and then we just went, like, back and forth, and, like, it ended up going the way that I don't want to say, like, wanted it to go, but, like, it's the way that it was supposed to go. It's the way it was supposed to go. Like,
what did you have to explain?
I emailed her because I got a low grade on it. Not that low, but a low grade. And so I tried to email her and then tell her, like, what I should do, what else I should do. And then she told me all these other things that I was supposed to do. And so I did them. And then she would email me back or write a comment on my assignment that told me how to do something else. And so I would email her and I was like, well, can you just tell me what to do all at once? And then she was like, we're going to keep giving you criticisms until it's perfect, till there's no more criticisms that need to be said. And I'm like, okay.
It's a very annoying way to work, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think your instructors, like your teachers, would be doing if they weren't teaching?
I don't even know.
They would probably be, like, teaching seminars to maybe other people that would want to become teachers.
I feel like they didn't even want to be teachers at first. Like, they probably tried to do something else, and then, like, they had to be a teacher just to have a job. Like, they went to college, maybe wanted to do something else, maybe didn't finish it, and just, like, became a teacher.
That's what it feels like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
They're not, like, super... You can tell they're not super happy to be there all the time. Yeah. And spending most of their days doing schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
Or dealing with students.
Yeah, but they make it hard on themselves, honestly. Like, students aren't even that bad, and they'll make it seem like students are being worse than they actually are.
Yeah, when I interact with the teachers, at least at this school, right, you've seen, like, my kind of strategy. You've seen it for a couple years. Basically, I try to engage with them and just be like, hey, how's it going? I am so-and-so's father, and I'm going to discipline her because obviously this is the case based off of, you know, what's written down here and the grading curve. But my daughter has some crazy idea, and what she's saying is that you guys waited till this point to tell them, and she couldn't prioritize, and that she emailed at this point, and I don't want to get your side of the story so that I can figure out how to, you know, restrict her or discipline her or do this. And then invariably they're like, well, I might kind of be bad at my job. And yeah, maybe we'll fix this. And that seems to be super effective every time. And I think it's a matter of kind of like, it's not manipulation, you know, necessarily, but it's a matter of like, having that conversation with the teachers to where they look at the consequences of their actions, like, at large. Like, what if a parent out there takes you completely at your word and is like, okay, cool, I'm gonna come down, you know, on my kid. I had interactions with my teachers where it was like, so one of the best ones was in middle school. In middle school, I showed up to school in a t-shirt, and it was like a Hawaiian t-shirt, but it had like these 50 style pinups on it. It had like these models and stuff on it, and I didn't really think much of it. I just thought it was like a crazy kind of out there shirt to wear. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a normal t-shirt or something like that. And I wore it the first day that I ever wore it, right? Mm-hmm. I showed up to school, and by second period, I got a note that the principal wanted to see me. And I was like, okay, all right, let me go over there and see Dr. Ross, right? I went to wait in the office, right? And I'm waiting by the secretary. And the principal comes by, and she looks at me, and all she says is, "What do you think you're at? You think you're at a gay bar wearing that shirt?" And she walks past me and goes into her office and tells me to wait. So I was like, all right, roasted. So like, let me just kind of sit here for a while and wait. And then the secretary was like, "Did you hear what she said to you?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, I definitely heard her." And she's like, "She shouldn't have said that to you." It's like, "You should call your mom." And I was like, "What?" I was like, and in my mind, I'm like, "I shouldn't call my mom." Like, my mom, you've met my mom, right? And I was like, "No, I don't think I should." And then I called her. And she came down, and I don't even know how fast, like, it was like 8 minutes later she was there, and I don't know what she was wearing when she, like, got the call, but she'd probably gotten to worse clothes. She's just like, "No, I'm too dressed up for this conversation," because she came, and she looked like, I don't know, she woke up, like, straight from a dream and came over, and she showed up. And she's in the office, and this is all before Dr. Ross, like, gets out of her office. And Dr. Ross, like, opens her door right when my mom is coming in, right? And my mom starts screaming at her, and she's like, "Who do you think you are?" And cursing. "You're calling my son gay because of blah, 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 blah." And it was insane. And Dr. Ross slammed her door, and my mom went up to it and started banging on the door and going crazy. And she, like, barricaded herself. Like, Dr. Ross barricaded herself in the office and said that she was yelling out that she was going to call the police. And my mom was like, "Call them." It was like a whole ordeal. The vice principal had to come out. And his name was Mr. Roper. He's super, super nice dude. And he came out, and he got in between my mom and the door and started talking to her and, like, calmed her down and said, like, "Hey, nothing bad is going to happen to him. In fact, the shirt is fine," you know, which is questionable. I don't know if the shirt was fine, but at that point they were like, "Look, just let the guy wear the shirt." Those were, like, my interactions. Like, every interaction with my parents and the teachers was like that. It was always a very volatile situation by the time it got there, because I would self-advocate, you know, and my parents always told me, and I think I've told you versions of this, my parents would always tell me, like, "I will always defend you, but the moment that you make me go up there and look like a fool because you lied about something or you didn't tell me something and I have to find out about it in front of your teachers, is the last time that I'm going to be up there defending you." So I would kind of wait until it was, like, boiled over for it to be a situation where we, we got a little freedom going by. Every once in a while we get the jets coming by here. It's pretty nice.
It's not nice. It's loud.
You don't like it?
No.
You don't like that sound of freedom?
Dare loud.
You said dare loud?
Yeah.
So, since you guys like talking about school, How do you guys feel? Like, do you guys feel accepted by your classmates?
I don't think they get us. Accepted, yeah, but there's, like, another word where I can't think of it, but not understand, because I guess they understand how we are, but most of them don't. Our close friends, like my best friend last year, before she moved, she understood my humor, because mm-hmm. she was around me all the time, so she knew what I was about, mm-hmm. and so did my other friend, but now my close friends aren't with me anymore, so if I make a joke around them, they don't understand that I'm joking. They think I just said something, like, vulgar or something, so they're just like, oh. And I'm like, and then mm-hmm. I have to tell them I'm joking, and they're like, oh, okay, and then they, like, fake laugh.
Yeah, because it, like, defeats it. I mean, if you think it's if you know it's a joke, it's funny already, but if you have to say it's a joke just because they don't get it, it's just like, okay.
It's not funny anymore in yeah. that yeah. moment.
Like, it's not fun it to not be around funny. Them. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, you'll either have to dumb down your humor for them or...
mm-hmm.
not be funny around them.
There's just only, cause. Like, two people at school, though, that understand mm-hmm. our humor, because our humor is the same as theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a couple, so it's better.
Yeah, it's more fun.
Because y'all are a couple. That's pretty fun. So what do you, how would you describe your humor, then?
Well, people at school, their humor is basic. Like,
it's, people, yeah, very much.
People will say, oh, yeah, they're so funny because they just said one funny thing, like, in front of a teacher.
Yeah.
And they just didn't care about
what was going to happen. And the whole class laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they think it's so funny. And you're just like, oh, what? Like, you don't even know what they said because it wasn't even anything to hear.
Yeah.
It wasn't even nothing you wanted to hear. So, like, the people that are funny at school are not funny.
So, is your stuff a little bit more subtle?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if somebody notices it, they'll laugh and look at you.
Yeah.
Like, they'll make sure that you know, they'll make sure that they know, that you know that they got it.
Like, hold on.
Yeah.
I know that most yeah. people didn't get that, but I got
yeah.
that. Yeah. I don't know. I always, like, at work and stuff like that, whenever, so at work, so for those of you guys that don't know, I don't know why you'd be listening to this, especially at this point, if you don't know me. But, yeah, I've been in the military for a while. And at work, I'm sure this is, like, in every job, especially, like, in the corporate world. But whenever, like, somebody's boss is coming in, especially if they're, like, you know, a commander of some sorts, they're automatically the funniest person on the planet.
Oh.
And it is very awful. There have been multiple times where, like, I've had a boss, you know, say something, and then people laugh, and I'm like, Hey, it's not funny, is it? But that's not funny, though. And the reason that I'll say that or get upset is because, like, I'm here kind of working my butt off. Like, I'm out here giving you solid material day in and day out. And you're laughing, but it sort of cheapens the laughs that I get when you laugh super hard mm-hmm. at this dude or whatever. So, yeah, it's pretty annoying. I think you guys are pretty funny.
Just a lot of people at school especially just don't understand it. But I think it's just because I don't know. I don't really like a lot of people.
At school? We like a limited few.
It's very, like, I never like anybody. It's just I yeah. always see something. Like, there's always, like, one person that comes around that I just really don't like. Like, I'll do anything to make them understand that I don't like them. So that they can just, like, kind of stay away.
Why do you think it's, that's important?
Because, I don't know, I feel, I don't know, there's, like, there's a specific person that I can think of right now, and
uh-huh.
I liked them at first, right? So I was kind of just, like, I would joke with them, and then when I realized kind of how they were, and their personality, and how they acted. It was very just kind of, they thought very highly of themselves. Sure. They thought they were, do you know who, no?
Mouth it.
Oh. yeah. Yeah, so she, She's the worst though, cause no, but like, she's like one of those people that's just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just a very annoying personality.
Okay.
And so I liked her at first. It was, everything was fine, and then like I didn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't really talk to her, but she would try to talk to me, and I would not want to talk to her. So like, if she said something to me, I would say something back, and it wouldn't be rude, but it would not be super nice. And she would just laugh it off, because she thought that's like kind of how I was saying it. Sure. Like, because the way I said it, the way I say things, like whenever I didn't really want to talk to her anymore, was just kind of making fun of her and stuff. Like, like, what does she say? She just says stuff all the time, and it's just, I just don't know how to say it. You know how to say it?
I do the same thing with her, except I do like her. I've known her for a couple years, and I'm friends with her. But sometimes she'll have, like, a bad week where she's just rude to everybody for no reason. And when she's like that, I'm rude to her back, and I'm very rude to her. Most of the time, she thinks I'm joking. And most of the time, I am. But whenever she's, like, rude to me, or, like, were to, like, shove me on purpose and think and, like, tell me, oh, that was by accident, I'm sorry, then I'm rude to her. And she'll laugh it off when I'm not, like, trying to be funny with her.
She's just not a great person in general. Like, I see it. But I don't want to say too much because I know Medea likes her. You know, so I just don't want to say anything bad about a friend that she likes. But...
Well,
Medea knows how I am, so I can.
Well, Medea, what do you like about her?
Well, we were acquaintances at first, but then we did become friends. She helped me with a class, so that's kind of just like why I'm still friends with her. Like, she just helped me with that.
Like, just getting everything precise with that, and it takes a lot, right, for somebody to kind of. Because it's easy just to, like, brush people off and be like, hey, figure it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of takes a lot for somebody to take their time, especially, like, at y'all's age, right? To be like, I'm going to spend some of my time helping you get better at this thing instead of doing something else.
She tried to help me with something, but she did it in a rude manner. She's condescending? Yeah, she wanted to make sure that I knew that she knew more about the subject than I did, and that she wanted me to know what grade she got, how fast she did it, and how easy it was.
Sure.
And still tried to help me, but said, oh, it's so easy. All you have to do is that. Oh, but it's so easy. Just do that, you know? And it, like, it was just kind of like, it was rude. And then she would ask me on other assignments if I needed help, and, like, I was fine. I've never really been into school, so I'm not gonna say I don't need help if I actually do. Like, I always ask for help. I know I need help with a lot of things. So, like, I it's not because of that. It's not because she's like that. It's just the way how she says it and how she makes me feel when she tries to help.
Sure. So that makes a lot more sense now, kind of hearing a little bit of, like, y'all's interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, from her perspective, I'm wondering, too, like, you think about it, the only thing that she really knows about you when you come in is that you're Medea's sister, right?
That's how everyone is right now.
So everybody's just like, all right, cool, what do I know about Medea? Medea needed my help, let me just speed this up real quick. Let me get in there. You know, it's weird, though, too, because, like, something that we perceive, obviously, as being rude or something like that. Obviously, there's not, like, or not necessarily obviously, but typically, there's not, like, sinister intent behind that. They're not purposely trying to make you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's just how that information comes out. And I'm guilty of this a lot. And I think it's almost like I've been in situations before where... you know, somebody has a problem or something like that, and I'm in a meeting, and very quickly you kind of have to get your credentials out there to be like, hey, look, I think we need to do it this way because of blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody will say, well, why don't we try this? It's like, I really think that if we tried that, this might happen. And I think that this is probably the best way for us to move forward with this particular task. And then when you get a little pushback, it's like, hey. So I was an instructor with Training Command for a couple of years. I've been a training manager before. I was this, that, and the other. And you kind of like, hey, I just want to tell you how you should kind of trust my opinion on this. And mm-hmm. let me just get my credentials all out there. And there's a very nuanced way to kind of do that. But almost any time that you do it, you're already kind of losing in that conversation, or at least not looking great in that conversation, mm-hmm. because you're not...
You had to pull that card.
You had to pull that card, right? You had to end up saying it. It's very difficult. It's very difficult not to. And that's why it's in the military, it's super weird, because you're already wearing certain things that, like, give you credit. Like, mm-hmm. if you've seen the stuff on my uniform, right? Like, it has your rank right here. So it's like, I am above you, or I have more experience than you. Even if you outrank me because you're commissioned or this, that, the other, I definitely have more experience than you because look at this on my chest. I have a badge over here that says that I've been in this career field and I'm a master at it, right? I have this other patch that says this, that says that. You have all these things that kind of come in the door with you at the time. And even with all of that, people still feel the need to be like, here's the other cards. Here's all my credentials, and here's why my opinion is the best one in the room. So I think maybe there's an element of that there, and people just don't have the self-awareness. And it doesn't sound like she's been able to experience people being straightforward with her yet.
Yeah, she hasn't.
Because it doesn't sound like you guys have been very straightforward with her, right? Like, I mean, you think you are, think because you're like,
I'm starting to be, from like a recent thing that happened.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to talk to her anymore.
Yeah.
Did you have the conversation with her?
No, I'm just not going to. Like, I think she started realizing that, sure. I don't want to talk, because she won't talk to me in class now. Mm. Unless, like, something about her comes up that she'll ask. Like, she'll talk to me. But now, like, I just won't. Just to, like, kind of get her to know, you know, that I don't like her and that I don't want to talk to her anymore and that, like, what's happened, you know, that's that. I guess.
Yeah, that might be the point that you're at, and that might be that with this person. I'll tell you though that to me, that's kind of sounds like a shame.
Yeah, I know it's not the best way to do it.
Well, it depends, right? Because you have to make the decision as to where you're at now. Like, you can't go back and make some changes. You can have a conversation. You can pull her aside and be like, hey, I really wish that a month ago we would have had this conversation, but that's really hard to do. I think that all you can do is kind of learn from it sometimes and just be like, because, like, I'm going to hold my hand up, right? And one of my hands is going to be going straight up, and one of my hands is going to be going at like a 45-degree angle, you know? And as that moves up, mm-hmm. this gets further and further. My hand goes straight up, but my other hand is getting further and further as they both move up, because one's angled off. And if you have that conversation super early on, you can tilt that other hand, right? You can tilt, and you guys can kind of understand each other. But it's more and more difficult to get that tilt to mean anything. And you guys might understand each other, like, further down the road, but by then you're so far apart. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to have that bond that you would have had if you had that conversation early on.
Yeah, now I think she just does things to kind of, como se dice? Just to kind of get on my nerves. Mm. Like, she'll bump into my chair a lot.
Oh, really?
A lot. But she doesn't need to. She's small, you know? She doesn't need to bump into my chair. And there was a time where she needed someone to open the door for her, but the door was open. Like, you could see you could see the space. And she was just looking and knocking, and I was the only one that looked at her, so I had to go get the door, and then she opened it, and she said, oh. Like, she just then realized, like, oh, my gosh. So then when I go sit back down, then she got up, bumps into me, bumps into my chair a bunch of times. It's just really annoying. I think she, at this point, I think it's just, like, we understand that we don't enjoy each other's presence.
You guys are enemies now?
I guess so. I guess that's how the cookie crumbles.
So how many enemies do you have?
Oh gosh. There's another girl in environmental science that does not like me.
God dog.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm a hard person to like.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's the way that I hold myself. Is like,
present yourself?
Yeah. It's like, if someone comes and talks to me, I'm very nice, but I look like I'm not nice. Like, yeah, I don't look like I'm nice, but whenever, sure, like, I talk to someone, I started realizing last week that I was, like, super, like, communicative, is that a word, to people, but just not if they're not talking to me, or if I'm not gonna end up talking to them. It's just like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a stand-up guy. I
guess. So, like, I've had this issue my whole life, right? Like, mm-hmm. When I was younger, especially, like, we didn't have the term when I was younger. We didn't have, like, the RBF term when yeah. I was a kid. But I definitely got the whole, like, you know, every once in a while somebody come up to the lunch table and be like, why are you always mad? It's like, yeah. I'm not mad. This is just, like, this is how I relax.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad had that face too, and, mm-hmm. you know, many people in the family just kind of do. And I think now too, like, even in my career, and I'm sure out there, I have to make it a point, and I don't always do it, but I have to make it a point to, like, pull the people that I work with, and pull them out of the office, and for us to, like, have a conversation, not about work, not about leadership, mm-hmm. not about anything, but just, or specifically, I'll start asking people questions. Like on a Friday, if there's not a lot going on, I'll be like, hey, who here has ever met a celebrity? Like, what's your story? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, what's your favorite such and such type of movie? Where do you want it? Like, what are you doing this weekend? Leading questions to where we can kind of have a conversation, and I can exhibit that I'm not a robot all the time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, people can definitely get that, that feeling. Like, when I was an instructor, I couldn't do any of that because they're your students. Mm-hmm. So anybody that was like a student of mine, when I was instructing back in San Angelo, they definitely have a particular opinion of me.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully when they meet me out in the field, they're like, what? This guy's all right. Mm-hmm. But when I was an instructor, I was very much, after the first couple of months instructing, I was very much like, all right, I'm pretty hard nosed about this. And then, of course, you have no other, you can't see me outside. I can't talk about stuff, you know, outside really too much. I say that after the first couple months, because the first couple months I was there, I was young. And I just kind of taught as well as I could, but I was also, like, super friendly with them and joking quite a bit. And my bosses at the time were like, hey, all of these critiques at the end are super favorable about you, and what are you doing in the classroom mm-hmm. that everybody's just loving you, and everybody's not loving you, but that the comments are, because that's really, really overstating it, right?
Yeah.
But that the comments were like just very, very friendly, mm-hmm. right? And they're just like, hey, this is, you're not really, it doesn't seem like you're setting up a military environment here. It sounds like you're friends with them. The way that the comments were written, you know, because the ratings are good, but the ratings for a lot of instructors are good, like across the board. It's just like, these comments seem like you're friends with them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'm not supposed to be friendly with these guys. And I was young, you know? So I've met some of those people afterwards, and some of them have become really great friends that were like super, like almost enemies. because they were bad students to me, and I was a bad instructor to them. You know what I mean? We just couldn't see eye to eye in that moment. Some people like asked questions when I said I was going to do a podcast. My friend Nicole. Nicole Kirby, she's over in the Fort Worth area in Texas, greatest country on earth. She asked, how's life been for a teen girl moving out of the country?
When I moved out of there 3 years ago, almost three years ago, it was weird because you have to adjust to certain things because everything's different. And there's no similarities unless you're, like, on base, I think. Like, houses look different. The trees look different.
The people look different.
They sound different, too. And when I got to school, people kind of, like, expected that... like, of you, that you should know all these things, that you should know when all these, like, fests are, like, Oktoberfest, K-Fest, they were like, oh, you don't know when that is? How do you not know when that is? You're in Germany. Like, I got here yesterday, so be mad at me. And, but they expect you to, like, to know these certain things about, like, how Germany is, or, like, where places are, like, where Mannheim is, or other places, I don't remember. But, like, I know them now. Most of them, of most things of what I should know. Like, sure. I know what Globus is now. When I didn't, people were like, they couldn't understand that I didn't know what Globus was. So, I guess adjusting was weird. It didn't take too long, though.
No?
No.
Well, we travel quite a bit, right? Like, especially, like, BC, before COVID. before the pandy. We would travel quite a bit and get out a lot. So I think we did well. And I think, you know, obviously the village that we live in doesn't have a whole bunch of Americans around. That's a little helpful too, in kind of experiencing things. But what would you say is some of the weirdest things like that you've seen out here that's different than America? Not necessarily in Germany, but just out here in Europe in general.
That's different?
Yeah.
I don't know. The clothing?
Yeah.
It's very, like, you can tell with people at school that have been in Germany most of their lives, they dress a certain way. They have, like, off-brand clothes, which is very common out here to not have, like, a bunch of stuff that's obviously from, like, America. But not most of the things that are popular in America are American. They're, like... foreign. But there's a lot of people at school who have been here most of their lives, and they wear like German shoes, and they'll wear like the coats that most German people wear when it's like colder, like because it's very distinct, it's very
sure
common. But then there's people that were in America like 4 years ago, and they dress American. They have Vans, they wear Nike sweatpants, and they have hoodies. And so you can tell the difference between people that have lived in Germany most of their lives and then people that have lived in America most of their lives.
And why were you smiling so much,
like,
Vex,
when you said the fans? Because I definitely, like, I've talked to people, and, like, this one guy, he told me he had moved, like, just last year. But he, like, knew all these things already because he lived in a village that had, like, a bunch of things here. Okay. But he dresses the same way every day. He's always wearing a flannel. He's always wearing his Vans or anything like that. And there's a lot of people like that who are just wearing the same thing.
Sure.
Because, like, they don't like the things out here.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they might not have, like, general access to the things they want to wear, so they just wear what they got.
They wear what they have.
What they've had from the States.
Or their old, order stuff. Like, another guy, he saw my phone. He saw, like, I had a clothing thing, like, an online shopping app.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it, and he's like, I love that app. He's like, I got these pants there. I got this shirt there. And he was just like, he said he was ordering pants, like, right now. And so I think a lot of people, when they order stuff that they actually want to wear, they order online.
Because
they can get the stuff they want. Because if they come into, like, the other stores, it's kind of harder to find stuff that you would wear.
You got to go find shoes that are like, oh, I need size 415 or whatever European shoe size is. Yeah.
And then all the pants that guys will have that if they bought at like a store in like downtown K-Town.
Sure.
They're all the same because they're all super German pants. It's pretty funny. They look all the same.
Yeah.
Well, we do a lot of tailoring and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But of course you have to do that too because like, you know.
We're small
people. Yeah.
I get comments on that all the time.
Your dad's kind of condensed.
Yeah. So. I guess we'll just blame you.
My fault.
Yeah, your fault.
You gotta blame me for the good things too, though.
I guess.
So I think it's like sort of the same topic. So I know we talked about school a little bit, but my buddy Jer, so Sam Hansen, shout out to Sam. So this dude, you know, it's funny. I mentioned being an instructor earlier. He was a student of mine. Not friends. Not friends when he was a student. And then he was over at, over in Colorado. So when after I instructed, I went to Denver and I was there in a program. And the head Air Force dude, James, is like a brother to me. That guy's awesome. He was like super, super welcoming because we were kind of separated out there and we were working in a program, but the program was run by the Navy and they kind of took care of themselves and we kind of had to take care of ourselves too. And the person who kind of took care of us, well, actually two people kind of took care of us, James, Chief Sobias, and Jeff Henson, Chief Henson. But at the time they were tech sergeants and they like took you in like family and their family took you in like family. And, I was over at the time, I'll call him James for the story, right? I wouldn't call him that now cause he's a big dog. He invites us over. And he invites a bunch of people over and he tells me, he's like, hey, by the way, this guy's going to be here. Sam. Hansen's going to be there. And I was like, cool. All right. And I was thinking to myself, like, I might fight tonight. It's been a long time since I've been in a fist fight, but I might get in a fist fight tonight. Because there was a lot of animosity. Mm-hmm. Between us, like we did not like each other. This was not a typical like, you know, student teacher like don't like each other. This is literally like we actively did not like each other. Mm-hmm. In San Angelo, and come to find out later, he had conversations before. Was just like, all right, I'm gonna go, but I'm not promising anything. Like, it might go down tonight. Yeah. So he was literally saying the exact same thing that like he might fight.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right? Because we're adult people, professionals, like, but we're just like we didn't know much about each other, but I think we both knew. I don't know much about him. I don't like him that much, but he probably will fight. And We hung out and we start talking about movies and we start talking about, I think we're watching a Cowboys game and we start talking about this and that. And at the end of the night, I was like, damn it. I think I kind of like this guy. And he was having the same conversation afterwards. It's like, I think I like him.
I want to be his friend.
Sure. Yeah. And he became, he was Alexa's first supervisor. Mm. Right. So like when Alexa was starting her career and getting, below the zone and getting Star Wars and blah, 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 blah. he was the guy. He was her supervisor. And he ended up being, he was like one of our witnesses. We had two witnesses like when we got married and he was one of them.
I wouldn't know that. It wasn't us.
Yeah, yeah. We had to have legal witnesses.
Whatever.
Illegals. So that's Sam. Shout out to Sam. And he asked, what's the difference in learning in the States and learning in Germany? Now, I'll preface this by saying that you guys aren't learning in Germany. Like, you guys aren't in a German school. Mm-hmm. You guys are in, a Department of Defense private school. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think, I guess, maybe another way to say this is what's different from, like, being in Texas and being out here? How are the schools different?
My freshman year, so that was, I came here sophomore year. And so freshman year, I was still in Texas. And the schools are very big compared to the school that I'm in now, which is 700 people. Mm-hmm. And the other one was how many, like 1,300?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. But I think it was easier in Texas to do, because I never did homework. I remember I didn't do any homework because I didn't have to and I was going to pass. And sure. I did. I got a 3.4 GPA on my freshman year, and I didn't deserve that at all. But then I came here sophomore year, and I basically was doing the same thing as I was my freshman year, not doing homework at first. But then I quickly realized that I needed to do homework and that I needed to pay attention in class, and I couldn't slack off. And the way that they teach isn't, like, necessarily different, but it's the criteria and what you have to do in order to pass is different. Mm. You have to do a lot more. You have to engage a lot. Mm. And I think it's like that because the teachers, everybody knows who everybody is in school. Like, mm-hmm. I know you can bring up somebody random from school, I can tell you who they are.
Yeah.
Because it's such a small school. Mm-hmm. And so I think that all the teachers are on to you all the time because there's just not a lot of people. And then there's still not a lot of people now because a lot of people are at, we have the choice of either doing virtual school or being in person, and there's not even a lot of people that are going in person, so it's like less people, and they're focused on everybody because they have more time to do that. They don't have to worry about having like 40 kids in a class. They can worry about just the 20. And so,
is that about how many are in there right now? 20?
Yeah. No. I don't think they can have over 20 right now. But yeah, I was doing pretty bad sophomore year.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. Well, I mean, much, much better the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, last year, absolutely, like, I couldn't, you know how Alexa and I were last year, we were just like, oh my God, mm-hmm. because we know how different it was. And that's so challenging, like, at this point, to run into that. Is so difficult. I did Texas public education forever, so for me it was, you know, relative. It's easy. It was easy. I didn't have to do much. I knew that I could get, good grades if I just did, you know, these certain things, check these boxes, I'd be all right. And I never really had to encounter that. And I think about, a lot of kids that are growing up that way. I mean, how do you think they're going to do? And that's why I told you, like, to deliberately take like college prep, right? And figure this out. I hope they do all right.
Those people are going to be living there for a while.
You think so?
I don't think they'll move. It's such a small town too, so that makes it worse on like how well they're going to do there living there. I know people that have kids already, right?
From where?
From Red Oak.
Oh, yeah. They have kids.
There's, sure. We knew a girl
that was on our basketball team in 8th grade. She had a kid that year.
Not even 8th grade. I thought it was 7th.
You're right. 7th.
7th grade, she had a kid. But, like, I was so shocked. I didn't even know that that was going on in, like, middle school. I didn't know people were gonna start having kids. I was just like, okay, whoa.
Yeah.
But there was teachers there that had kids when they were 14, and then their kids had kids when they were 14.
Sure. Yeah.
And it went on and on like that.
Sure.
They never moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is always tough to see.
I know at my school was that way. We had a daycare on campus. We did. We're the Southside Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And I swear we had something called the Cardinal's Nest. I mean, you're laughing, right? But like,
wow.
I mean, think about that. Like, that's something that people had to plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, right? When I was a kid, we laughed about it too.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, oh my God, like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, how could this happen? Well, we know how it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these teachers, like these school districts, like they literally had to get through and like, put in a budget and be like, hey. And I think about it too, because I know that we had people fighting, like when I was in high school too, like this is like, you guys have heard of like the fight against like teaching sex education. Like,
yeah.
Oh no, we want to teach abstinence.
Yeah. That's
and
how
they teach abstinence.
Sure. Of course. So, yeah. So teaching abstinence or having people, you know, not want to take the vaccination for HPV, right? All these things kind of go hand in hand. It's like at the same time that we're fighting first against, you know, sex education for the curriculum, and people are saying like we need to do abstinence only. We're also like at that same meeting budgeting for the Cardinal's Nest so that we can have, you know, because that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
Like that it's not hard to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been going on for quite a long time. I don't quite know when we'll be able to, you know, combat that, but yeah, that's pretty crazy. Do you guys, that's not something that you guys experience out here, I guess?
No. We have to take a health class, and they teach sex education.
Mm-hmm.
So.
At least people are informed.
Yeah, and we have to watch, like, a birthing video, too.
Gross.
Yeah, it was bad.
I hope it's not the same one that they made us watch.
I think it was because it was old. They carry the babies like that. Like, they carry them by their leg, and they throw the babies around.
Yeah. Like, they hold them like they're chickens.
Well, I heard that they gotta slap chickens? Their butts so by that the they feet? Can scream.
Like a baby.
Like, you hold chickens like a baby, obviously.
Like a newborn baby. That's how you hold chickens.
That was wild.
It's gross. But it's beautiful because it's nature.
Yeah.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's human natural.
Did you guys have anything? Oh, so I was gonna ask you guys about your... about your tattoos.
Oh yeah.
So we've been watching Ink Master. Like so much Ink Master.
Yeah.
Even Alexa's thinking about it, huh?
Yeah, and she even never ever get a tattoo.
But yeah, she's even thinking about it, which is funny. So we've been watching a bunch of Ink Master lately, and you guys have been talking about getting tattoos for a while.
Yeah.
And asked you guys a little bit ago what you guys are thinking for your first tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what you want? And then we can talk about why. Because I don't know why.
So I want a lighter on my right arm. Where is it? Above my elbow? Like on the inside of my arm?
In the inside of the bicep?
Yeah, this little fake bicep. We can even imagine right here.
And then mine, I want your marshmallow on a stick on my forearm. Same place.
It's same place that I have it.
Yeah.
Same place, same time.
So I have the lighter. I have the lighter on my left arm though.
Mm-hmm.
But you want yours on your right.
Yeah.
And I have a marshmallow on a stick. And we talked about doing it in like different styles, right? Like mm-hmm. you, like the Mine's lighter realistic. probably realistic, and mm-hmm. you might do like a new school type thing or something with the
Well, I don't really like want it to be too I would want it to be realistic but not exactly like yours.
Mhm.
Not okay. to be not really new school cuz I want it to be
mm. Okay. You want some realism to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Cause mine's a little bit more cartoonish,
mm-hmm.
Although it gets more real, like the marshmallows a little bit more real, like with the smoke and stuff.
The burn.
So why? We've never talked about this.
For me, I always liked lighters, like kind of with the same way I like cards. You know mm-hmm. how we always go buy them wherever mm-hmm. we go. So whenever I would go to a gas station to get gas and I would go inside and like get a snack, I'd find a lighter and I'd grab it and I'd buy it. And then I would like keep it in my car in this little pocket I had and I would put them all there. And I just liked having a bunch of them. Like I wanted different colors. I was even thinking about ordering some. Don't even know why. I just like wanted... I did order some actually. I ordered like a 12 pack. And then I hung them up in my room. By, like, that light, or where's that light? By, like, all those lights that had, like, lights on it. And I clipped them on that light. So when the lights were on, it reflected off the color of the light.
You said light a lot.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I always liked lighters. And then, like, I always liked tattoos, though. Like, I remember you saying, like, if you're going to get a tattoo that's going to be on you forever, make sure it means a lot. You know, like, it mm-hmm. like it's not just something that... you're not gonna want later. But like for me, I felt like I've always liked tattoos, and whatever tattoo I have, I feel like it's gonna mean something anyways.
Sure. Sure. What about you, Meds?
I know that I will eventually get tattoos. More tattoos, not like a lot, but like I won't be covered. But I know that I'll get like a good decent amount, but You said that our first tattoo should be something that is meaningful, not something like stupid, like some stupid,
like
but
a butterfly.
Like some of my stupid believe. Tattoos.
Hmm?
Like some of my stupid tattoos.
Which ones?
I don't know.
Which ones are your stupid ones?
They didn't mean anything. Like some of them didn't mean anything at the time, except that I just wanted to. Oh,
the ones on your back.
Yeah, for those of you guys that don't know, the tattoos on my back are, they represent the girls. So, yeah, obviously meaningless. So what do you think's meaningful about that then, Meds?
I always kind of liked that one. Didn't, like, really realize it until I was thinking about it. But, and it's yours, too. Like, you have a lighter. And Fix obviously wants a lighter, but it's also on you, too. Mm-hmm. And I liked that, the marshmallow on a stick one, because it looked cool. And tattoos mean a lot to you, too, so I was just thinking, oh, go ahead. I'll go ahead and do that.
Pop it on.
That's sweet. Yeah, oh, man, that's right, because I remember somebody was like, at one of the softball games, right? Didn't somebody come up to you afterwards and be like, hey, somebody here at the softball game had a tattoo of, like, a marshmallow on a stick.
Well... It was somebody. No.
I don't remember how it went.
It was somebody that I was talking to last year.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about getting, like, their next tattoo.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, what are you thinking of getting? And they told me what they were trying to get. And she had told me that there was a guy at one of the softball games. And it was already brought up because I was in softball, so she was talking about that. And she's like, oh, yeah, there was, like, one of these guys that was at a softball game, and I saw he had tattoos on him, but there was one that stood out to me, and it was, like, a marshmallow, and it was, like, on a stick, and it was, like, kind of like it was roasting. And I'm like, you saw it at a softball game. And she was like, yeah, I went to some of them last year. And then I was like, did he look like me? And then... I didn't say that, but, like, but I was like, oh, that was my dad. He went to softball games. It was for me. And then she was like, oh, and then she was like, it's really cool. I'm like, yeah. And that was it. But that's how I brought up.
That was that.
And I just thought it was funny because it was about you. She didn't know it was about my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. All right. Did you guys have anything else that you wanted to talk about as we're losing daylight here?
I think it was just like how was your senior year?
My senior year?
Yeah. The year that we're in.
Ooh. Mine was different. It was super weird. So at the end of my junior year, we moved. We lived in the South Side at the time. In a place in Elmendorf, Texas, in like this subdivision or something called Waterwood. We lived in Waterwood and we ended up moving into another district over by Ingram Park Mall in the Meadow Ghetto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were super far. So I should have went to, I think I was supposed to go to Holmes. Maybe I should have went to some other school. I don't know. I never found out exactly because we just kind of used our old address. Because, so the way that it works with, class elections, like class position, class officers or whatever, mm-hmm. was that you would do the elections at the end of the year before. So you would do elections at the end of junior year for who was going to be the senior class, like, mm-hmm. people, right? And I had run for president my junior year, and I won, which is crazy. I shouldn't have won, but, like, two people ran against me, and I think they split the vote. Like, I don't know how this happened. But I ended up getting elected, and I was like, oh, this is going to look really good on, like, college applications, mm-hmm. things like that, if I do it. But I'm moving. And plus, like, I had friends at that point. I was into, I had like moved on from sports and was because I was working, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was doing drama and I really liked theater at that point. And I couldn't do too many things. Like I couldn't do theater and have a job and do another sport. You know, I had, mm-hmm. had to kind of choose, but I was really liking that, you know, at that point. And then I had this thing, you know, the you know, being a class officer and stuff like that. And I decided, all right, I'm not going to switch my senior year. I'm just going to go back. So I had to drive every morning and it was pretty far. I definitely drove like a maniac every morning. I was so bad. Like I had to do defensive driving three times in a year. I don't even know why they legally allowed me to do that. So my senior year, it was a lot of doing regular school thing, but I was also working. I was working at a movie theater for some of the year. And then I got fired for setting a guy's hair on fire, which I did not do. # innocent. I got fired from that job. And I got hired working at a hotel, being a bellman, because my buddy Pete, you guys know Pete? Mm-hmm. Pete was working at that hotel, and his mom was working in, like, human services at the same time, or human relations. I forget. But either way, they got word that that there was going to be an opening, so I got a job there. So mm-hmm. So mostly I was working at the hotel. I was going to school. I was doing drama. So that was a lot of my afternoons. We're doing like either rehearsals or things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was in this program called Upward Bound. So on the weekends we would go and they would bus us to like college courses. Or at that point I could drive. So you would take like little classes at University of Texas in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. We would take some classes there. And then like at the end of my senior year, I was part of a program where we were in we were in University Oaks, so we got to live on campus and start like our college thing, you know, there. And I think my, I don't know if it was my senior year was my last year or if my junior year was my last year doing like Youth Congress. So we'd like travel to DC to go pretend like we're in Congress and do like mock legislation and stuff. But yeah, every one of those things, I still talk to people, you know, from each one of those instances and stuff. So senior year was kind of busy, but kind of not because it was still like, you know, Texas public education. So it wasn't incredibly taxing. And then of course, senior year, there's a lot of classes that you don't really need to, you don't really need to do much in.
Yeah.
That was pretty much my senior year. Yeah. School and stuff like that. Hanging out with buddies.
Cool.
My senior year has been the most stressful year
so far.
Yeah.
Like so stressful. It's only been a month, but it's definitely been the most stressful school year.
We also came late though.
Yeah. But it shouldn't be that bad because I shouldn't have to be making up everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. That's part of like my conversations with some of your instructors. You know, it's not lost on us either. Alexa and I have talked multiple times about how uncharacteristically awesome you guys are. So you know what we think about you anyway, but like seeing you guys interact with each other, especially like these last couple of weeks and just how like, in the morning before I leave, every day, I get a big old hug out of you guys, right? When I come home, I get a big old hug and a smile out of you guys. And and then you're working on, you know, your homework and you're so far behind and this and that, right? And there's no reason for you to be happy and joking and being like, no, daddy. There's no reason for you guys really to, I mean, not no reason, but you know, you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, it would be completely understandable if you guys were being like super mean to us or like moody about this or that. But that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're laughing with us, engaging with us, you know, making time to hang out with us in between like doing this and that, which, you know, is like my favorite part of the day. And that is definitely something that we have talked about. It's just like, man, these girls, like they are going through it, but they're going through it with a smile. But like a quote that's been out there more and more lately is just because someone carries it well doesn't mean it's not heavy, you know? And I think that's important. I'm glad that you guys are like carrying it well, but I know it's heavy, and I'm glad that in certain instances you guys are having questions. Like you had that question with coding today, and I was like, I'm really stupid. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to help with this. And most of the times I can't help, I don't think. I'm going to be like, all right, me and Google can help. Yeah, you guys having each other to lean on, stuff like that, super important. But yeah, I know it's a tough one this year.
I try to leave that stuff at school, like all that. Because
you don't have any homework.
Yeah, because I don't like school. Like, I never thought highly of school work, or anything like that. I like, based on what you want us to do, like, just to make sure we have good grades, we turn everything in, you know, what you want us to do for school, I do all those things. And that will be it. I don't know. School's always been a tough thing for me. Not because of the work or anything, but just because of, like, the socialness of it, I guess. The interactions I've never taken on. I've never, like, done well with it. So every class I have is a struggle, like, with people. So I just try to leave that stuff at school, kind of. And, like, when I get on the bus, I'm, like, excited because we get to go home. So.
Yikes.
Yeah, but that's how it's always been. So I'm pretty well versed with it.
The thing is, for me though, I have so much homework that
Like, whenever I think about the weekend, I'm not thinking, oh, I wonder what we're going to do this weekend. I'm like, oh, I just have extra time to do homework.
Why don't you guys keep talking? I'm going to go to the bathroom. Okay. And I'll just be surprised when I all right, my dear. When I listen to whatever's happening. Go on. Here.
Can you turn on the light?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, thanks. So thanks. When you go to school, yeah, you always have a bunch of homework. And I never, ever do. Like, because I've picked easy classes to get through my year that I want to get through.
Yeah.
But you want to do more things after school than I do.
Well, because you don't want to go to college, and I have to go to college anything. For you.
You don't have to go to college for me.
Yes, I do. How? Fix. If you're not going to college, what are you going to be doing whenever we're going to end up living together?
And what if we don't even end up living together?
It's obviously going to happen. I don't know why you would even say
that.
What
if we don't?
How are we not going to?
What if somehow I decide I don't want to live
somehow together. You decide, you know how selfish that would be of you? Exactly. Don't even laugh about that. We've been planning this for a year. You say?
A year. Like, it's our whole life. We've been planning this whole year. I guess I'll live with you.
Oh, you're so... Well, yeah.
No, but just, you know how people at school are with school? How they stress out a lot about it?
Yeah, they're trying to go places.
Yeah, and you're that's not, so that's like the difference. So that's why I'm able to take it on. Like, I'm not trying to do anything, basically. Yeah.
Well, I need to get into college so I can, like, get money for us. Okay, so you can do whatever you want.
How? I can get a job.
Where? At the movie theater?
I worked at the movie theater.
Exactly.
I got that job back. I think I got fired.
Yeah, you did get fired because you didn't show up.
Okay, but I didn't know I still had a job.
Okay.
Okay.
That was during the pandy. So, is Daddy coming back?
I don't know. I think we'll be able to hear him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Daddy.
What are you guys talking about?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, not much.
You don't want to catch me up?
Nothing political.
What?
No, we were just talking about how Medea is going to go to college so that I don't have to go to college.
I'm not going to pass my senior year. I'm going to have to retake it. No, but I need to talk to my counselor to see how many credits I have to see if I can fail a couple of classes.
Oh, like, I've heard things with, like, people in our class. Like, I've heard something from someone, and he was like, I had to go to my counselor and fix my schedule.
She doesn't answer emails.
Yeah, so I could get the right credits to graduate. Like, yeah. The counselor's not that great.
I email my teachers weekly.
Yeah.
Because they're always doing something wrong.
I don't know. I think they're off their game.
Yeah.
Maybe that is their game.
Could be.
Nope.
Bad game.
Yeah, I mean, we had issues as well with our counselors. We definitely had some folks that, like, didn't find out till the end of their senior year that it was like, oh, you should have done this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Wait, what? It's like, yeah, like, back over here in, like, ninth grade, I don't know who it was to let you not take this class, but yeah. Yeah. Now you have to take it. It's like, that was you. You've been my teacher, you've been my counselor every year. Like, what?
Blaming someone else?
Yeah. It's like, it's not great. It's funny. Like, I know, obviously, like, one by one, like, we'll talk about all these situations individually. We're not trying to, like, problem solve everything, you know, right here while we're talking about it. But,
yeah.
Like, broadly, though, it is important for you guys to find out, like, right now that people like this are out there.
Yeah.
You know? And for the most part, there's many, many, many career paths and jobs where you're going to have people in authority positions over you, especially like early mm-hmm. in jobs where incompetent folks are going to mm-hmm. be like in control of some portion of your life.
Yeah.
And it's important to kind of, in some instances, like, compartmentalize that a little bit and realize, hey, this is, like, a very small portion of my life that this person, you know, has control over. And also impact change when you can.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think the goal there is to strive to end up doing something with your life professional-wise that doesn't require you to depend on other folks. Because, like, part two of Sam's question was, what are you guys thinking of doing, like, once you guys are done with school? what is that? Have y'all thought about that at all?
Well, I want to try to get into a college so I can take a psychology class. Because that's what I want to do. I want to be a child psychologist. That's what I want to be. And I've taken humanities, I've taken psychology, and I was about to take AP psychology, but it's not a thing here. And I've taken other things, too. I can't think of it right now, though. But, what?
I was going to say, you taken on me.
What?
Go on.
Go one fix.
Thank you.
But that's kind of it. I don't want to do that. Forever, though.
Yeah.
Just something.
I wish that we didn't, like, have to be good at something to have money to do what we want.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's, it's one of those things. It's like a, in my opinion, that ends up being, it's a goal that a lot of folks that I grew up with have, you know? Having enough money to kind of do whatever you want, you know? It's... You gotta understand, though, too, or you gotta take into account that making money, you know, requires time, and it's a good amount of your time, you know? So spending, even if it's just 40 hours a week, like, those are your waking hours. It's most of your waking hours, right? Which means... You're going to spend a good amount of time getting ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be at work. Then you're going to spend some time leaving work. And you're going to spend some time thinking about work. It's going to end up being a very big part of your life. So if the thing that you're thinking about is kind of like the end result, which is like, I'm going to get some money,
mm-hmm.
and you don't pay too much attention about what kind of just what kind of environment you put yourself in with your job, how that impacts you, your mood, this, that, and the third, right? It ends up being like you're not looking as far down the road as you can, you know? And it takes a while too. Like, you'll find, as many people find, if you start making a little bit of money, and you start making a little bit more, and a little bit more. You almost always find a place for it. You're like, oh, once I have this, I can do this. Ugh. Well, now that I have this, I guess I can buy this. I guess I can get this. I guess I can get that. And it gets a little bit crazy. That's why it's important to get these habits that I don't have, but like Alexa has, where like she's been saving forever. So she's killing it, saving it, investing, stuff like that. Like, she's absolutely killing it. I am not. So I don't know. I think that it's important to know what you want, like know what you think is going to make you happy.
Yeah.
But I think if you can put some thought into, like, what are the types of things that you want money for? Like, what are the types of things that you would spend money on? And if you could sort of build on that thought and say, well, hold on, is there something that I can do that will put me in that environment? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That I could start doing things that are adjacent to the things that I think are fun and that you could get enjoyment out of it along the way, you know? I'm not a big person that's like, what's your dream job? Because like you've seen it, like said before, like I don't have a dream job. I don't like, I don't like sit back and dream about labor. But you can work to where you really enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy what I'm doing now. And, you know, you have opportunities. I've had opportunities in the military to like go do something else and maybe work towards this, and then you'll be commissioned and you'll, you know, you'll make more money and you'll do this. It's like, that's kind of when you know that you're bought in, when you're like, I guess I like what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. You kind of hit that point. I think a lot of people do. Some people don't. But a lot of people in the military, they hit that point where it's like, uh-oh, I think I'm the man now. Like, I was fighting against the man up until today. And now I think I am also the man. I found myself like in 2015.
The big boy.
Yeah. In early 2015, somebody had said something. They're like, you know, this new system, blah, 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 blah. And I found myself in that conversation. I was like, well, you realize like the Air Force is doing that because of, you know, leadership is, you know, inspiring people to accomplish the mission, blah, 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 blah. And then halfway into it, I was like, what is going on right now? And I found that like, oh man, I turned over. I'm a company man. And I think that like the earlier you can get that, the happier that you'll end up being. I think it's simple. Like you want a job, in my opinion, that you drive to and you get out of your car and you go in and you tell people hi, and or you go before every once in a while and you go grab donuts and you bring them in and you're like, hey, how's it going? And the people that you work with, you know who their spouse is, and you know their kids, and you care about each other, and you want each other to do well, and it pays you a living wage. But the not the opposite of that, but other versions of that are the jobs where you get there and you don't have to be in till 7:30, and you drove there and you got there and it's 7:26 and you're like, I'm not getting out of my car. I have 3 minutes where I don't have to be in there. And I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there before I have to get in there. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be on my phone. I'll send one last, you know, message to my friend, or I'll listen to one last thing, or whatever. I'll sit here in silence. But I'm not going in there. And I've had jobs like that in the military. For sure, where it's like, I don't want to. They were when I was younger, you know, it was when I was an airman. And I think that, like, as you grew up in the military, you, when I say grow up, I mean, like, as you've been in for more and more years, you see time is like finite, and you're like, no, I got to get in there because I got stuff I got to do. But I've definitely had that, and I see it. I see people at that stage, and some people are doing that for one reason or another. You know, I've been in units before that it's a great unit. Everybody loves each other, this, that, the other. And what I say is, like, broadly, everybody's nice. Broadly, everybody's this. But even there, in, like, a good organization, you'll see somebody waiting in their car. Like, I'm not going in till it's this time. And there's a number of reasons that people do that. Not just because of the job, but maybe they don't like their coworker. Maybe they don't like their boss. Who knows? Who knows what it is? But I say all that to say, like, it's a significant portion of your life. It's a significant portion of time, like, whatever it is your job is or your career. And I think it's worth it to put yourself in a position now, right? You guys have so much time to try to get it as close to right as possible, you know, the first time that you go for a path. But not be so dug in that you can't, you know, revector, change your mind, go do something else. It's dark out here in Germany, huh?
Yeah, it's probably like freaking 3:30.
It's not.
What time is it? It's not 3:30. It's 5:30.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
This is about the time you get home. Or the time you don't get home, but you say you're going to be home, and so we're just waiting and looking out the window.
Yeah. you wait and look out the window if it's 5:30?
Yeah, we turn off the TV. We look out the window.
Yeah. Hey, I've been trying to make it home.
Yeah, not hard enough. Try a little bit harder.
Just take leave.
Me and you were talking about that right at school.
What?
I was like, I'm gonna be so bored on Friday, like whenever there's when we have the day off, and like, just tell Daddy to take leave, so just so we can go hang out or something. Do something.
we'll figure it out.
It's pretty funny. You was said it? You were gonna be bored. I was me and Medina planning on watching Shameless all day. Yeah, but we already finished the season, so we're rewatching it.
Yeah.
Which. Ugh. The beginning's really good.
You should be finishing up Fargo. What are you doing?
I do that at school. She does during lunch. School. And then people bother me and say, "Are you really sitting by yourself?"
Yeah. Yeah, like
watch
I said.
What's Fargo? What's that? I have to explain it, and then I have to take my earbud out. Yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys ready to close this up, or did you guys have anything else that you absolutely positively had to talk about today?
No.
All right. Hey. Love you guys.
Love you too. Good one.
All right.
Bye. What was that?
Shut up. Ciao. All right. I guess I should press stop.
Or ciao. Press pause or how do you even say stop in Spanish?
I think you just. Like, you say stop, but yell. It's like it's louder. Yeah. I think.
Like with an accent.
I think people.
Stop.
Stop with like a thing over the
stop.
O.
Stop.
Like when Journey. When Journey saw. We were watching a movie and the subtitles. I think it was like a bootleg movie. And I guess the subtitles were in Spanish. She walks in and she's like. Why are the Spanish subtitles? And there was no reason for her to say it that way. She's never even spoken like that at all. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Journey's the best.